You're listening to Catholic Talk Radio in Chicago and the suburbs on Relevant Radio 950 AM.
Good morning. I'm Cardinal Francis George. For the next hour, the Archdiocese of Chicago will be hosting discussions on issues, people, and associations that touch our lives. Welcome to the Catholic Community of Faith.
And thank you for tuning in on this Monday morning in hot and wet Chicago. I'm Graziano Marcheschi, welcoming you to this edition of Catholic Schools Today. Father Greg is away, and so I am flying solo this morning and delighted that you've chosen to spend this part of your morning with us. I was ready to talk about the heat wave that we're going through, and then all of a sudden the storm clouds came through, so I don't know if it's going to remain really hot, but I learned an interesting thing yesterday. About 100 years ago, in 1897, during this very week, we had another heat wave that took the life of both the founding pastor of my home parish and Father Augustus Tolton. Those of you who aren't familiar with the name of Father Augustus Tolton, he is the first African-American priest in America. He was a priest of the Archdiocese of Chicago, and his cause is up for canonization. So he died, actually, because of the heat wave in 1897. He died yesterday, would have been the anniversary, on July the 9th. So keep cool out there. And stay out of the sun. We are very excited this morning to welcome some guests to our show. And
ni hao.
Ni hao. What does that mean?
Hello in Chinese.
Hello in Chinese. We're going to be talking about a trip that some of our high school students from two of our Catholic high schools here in the Archdiocese made to China. So we'd like to welcome to the program Brendan O'Rourke, who is Director of Admissions and Marketing at St. Francis de Sales High School in Chicago.
Good morning.
Good morning, Brendan. And Joni Thompson, Principal of Our Lady of Tepeyac High School, also in Chicago.
Good morning.
And two students from Our Lady of Tepeyac, Abigail Camacho and Mariana Buzo. Welcome to you all.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Good to have you here. Tell us about your trip to China. Why in the world did a bunch of high school kids and teachers and principals head off to China?
Well, we headed off to China because a donor came forward to Big Shoulders, and we are both Big Shoulders high schools, and the donor knew that Catholic high school students would be perfect for a cultural exchange in China, and particularly to go to the Dandelion School, which is a school outside of Beijing that serves the children of migrant workers. Children of migrant workers in China are not allowed to attend school beyond elementary school. So this is a junior high that was opened by a woman about 6 years ago who was committed to helping the children of migrant workers in this school called the Dandelion School. And so the donor, with Big Shoulders support, knew that these Catholic high school kids would just be perfect for a service trip so we could go to the Dandelion School and teach English.
You piqued my curiosity. Migrant workers in China, where do they come from?
They come from the smaller villages and provinces outside the major cities.
Oh, so they're actually Chinese?
Oh, yes.
But they're not allowed to go beyond
elementary school.
Elementary school. Why is that?
I don't know if I understand completely, but I think according to the principal at the Dandelion School, one, there's just so many of the migrant families move outside these major cities, and the schools can't handle the numbers. And also, it is a prejudice against the children of the migrant workers because migrant workers in and of themselves are looked down upon in Chinese society.
Because they're from rural areas as opposed to the urban areas. I see.
Right.
Brendan, how did you go about selecting the students who would go on this trip?
Well, there was some certain criteria that was initially brought to us. Students needed to have a certain grade point average, things like that. I then opened it up to students by having them write an essay, answer some questions on why they think that they would be qualified. I then reviewed those of of about 12 students that filled that out, I selected four of those students. And they turned out to be, you know, four of the best candidates that we had.
Excellent. Now, we've got Mariana and Abigail, who actually made the trip, both of you from Our Lady of Tepeyac School. Did you ever imagine when you first started high school that a year or two down the road, you'd be going to China to teach Chinese students, kids of your own age, how to speak English?
No, I never imagined it at all.
So what was it like?
It was a great experience, especially working with the kids.
What did you like best about the trip?
Being at the school and helping out the kids. That was the best part.
So what did you do? You just sat down with them and started tutoring? Did they speak any English at all?
They did. They were kind of fluent in it, not as well as we are. Uh-huh. So when we talked to them, it was kind of difficult because you had to find a way to communicate with some of them. But it was kind of like if you were a teacher. You sat in front of a classroom, they would say good morning to you, and then you had other college students help you out. So they would speak Chinese, and they would tell them what the plan was for the day, and then we would just, like, play games and go over words and just teach them regular English.
Abigail, was this one-on-one tutoring? Were you paired up with one other student, or did you have a group of kids that you worked with?
It was a full class. It was about 39 to 42 students.
That you had just by yourself?
No, it was a student from Duke University and one of the boys from St. Francis de Sales.
Oh, wow. So the three of you took on this class of 39, 40 students.
Yes.
Was it scary?
At first it was, but the Duke student, she was fluent in Chinese.
She was?
Yes. So she would translate for us, so it was pretty easy.
Were the Chinese students curious about life in Chicago?
They were, and they thought it was going to be the same as China, but they actually got a hang of it, and then they were just playing basketball.
Oh, they were interested in basketball?
Yes.
What did you find was most alike between you and your friends and the Chinese teenagers that you met?
We liked the music, and we just like hanging out and being with friends and having normal conversations. Like, it's something I never imagined myself having, a normal conversation
with
a Chinese kid. But being there and just, like, having to talk to them and getting to know them was really wonderful.
Did they like the same kind of music you like?
Yeah, they did.
Joni, tell us a little bit more about the trip. Besides the initial visit to Shanghai, I think you traveled to some other cities?
We did. After we were in Shanghai for a few days, and then we went to the Dandelion School for a week, and we worked. Then we went to Beijing for a week. And in Beijing, we saw the Forbidden City. We climbed the Great Wall. We saw some of the Buddhist temples. We went to the Olympic Bird's Nest. We saw the Opera House. We saw a couple.
The Summer Palace.
We saw the Summer Palace. We saw, you know, we were sightseeing and able to really see the hustle and bustle and the traffic and everything in a major city like Beijing. A lot of people stared at us. A lot of people wanted to take our photographs.
Really?
Because I don't think they had seen a lot of Westerners before. It was interesting to be able to see some of the great culture and some of the great pieces of Chinese history. They're very proud of their history, obviously, and it's really a long history. We would be someplace and they would say, well, this was built 2,000 years ago, or this was built 1,500 years ago. So it makes we Americans, I think, feel quite young in comparison.
Yeah, you go out east and they'll point out a building, you know, that was built in the 1700s, and it's, wow, that's so old. And in China, that's probably the new building. Tell us, Brendan, as an adult accompanying these teenagers and having the opportunity to observe the Chinese teenagers right alongside your own students, what were the differences and the similarities that you noted between the two groups?
Certainly within the school, I think the students really like to take advantage of their free time. Chinese students didn't have, you know, there weren't the huge breaks during the day, but when they had it, you know, they're out on the playground, they're playing basketball with our students, you know, they're in groups, they're talking, you know, just trying to really taking advantage of the time that they have that's not going to be in the classroom. And I thought that was kind of one of the similarities, you know, that you find with our students, and especially high school students, and participating in so many different activities and things like that, having to budget your time and manage your time. These students really certainly took advantage of a lot of that. One of the differences that I think, and one of the things that our students really realized, was how long these students study and how long these students work, and you know, that they must take advantage of these breaks.
I want to hear more about that, but we're going to take a break, and a very short one. And then when we come back, we're going to continue our conversation. You'll learn more about life in China. And if you have a question, give us a call, 312-255-8408, 255-8408. You're listening to Relevant Radio, and we'll be right back. Don't go away.
Join the movement to run in the 2011 Bank of America Chicago Marathon on Sunday, October 9th, as a pledge runner for Team Catholic Charities. The race is sold out, but we have post-close entries for you or someone you know. To join or sponsor the Catholic Charities Marathon team or to join the committee, call 312-655-7912. That's 312-655-7912. Visit us at catholiccharities.net/Chicago Marathon, and we'll see you at the finish line.
Are you Mawusi? Mawusi means in the hands of God in Ewe, a language of the Ghanaian people.
The Office of Catechesis and Youth Ministry sponsors the annual Mawusi Retreat, celebrating Black Catholic spirituality. This year's theme is Signed, Sealed, Delivered, I'm Called. We'll explore how we are signed by our baptism, sealed by the Holy Spirit, delivered from sin, and called to a life with Christ.
Experience Black Catholic spirituality through robust talks, prayer sessions, reconciliation, Eucharistic adoration, reflective time, and a forum focusing on vocations.
The retreat is designed for adults discerning ministry, lay and religious ministers who serve the Black Catholic community, and anyone else seeking a spiritual call to action.
Join us at Mawusi, Friday, July 22nd to Sunday, July 24th, at Techne Towers in Techne, Illinois, near Northbrook. For additional information, call 312-534-8046 or visit our website, www.catechesis-chicago.org.
That's 312-534-8046 or www.catechesis-chicago.org. Also, check us out on Facebook. Search for Mawusi Chicago.
Are you Mawusi?
Ni hao, and welcome back to Catholic Community of Faith. If you weren't listening earlier, ni hao is the Chinese word for hello. And I learned that just a few moments ago from Abigail Camacho, who is a student at Our Lady of Tepeyac School, who together with 12 other Lady of Tepeyac students and four boys from St. Francis de Sales High School traveled to China to teach English to Chinese students. Now, the stereotype, I think, is, you know, Chinese students, very disciplined, very studious, you know, we're all in our places with bright, shiny faces kind of thing. And, you know, that education's taken very seriously, the best facilities. Was that the experience that you encountered when you went there?
No.
No?
No.
What was it like?
It was really, really different. Like, the school, when we got there, wasn't in its best conditions. So being there and getting to see how the kids have the energy to get up every day and do it daily, even though, you know, they know that the school isn't in its best conditions and they're not living great, it's just, it made you think a lot about what we have here, and it's a big difference.
Joni, describe the conditions a little bit for us.
Well, the founder of the school made this decision to open up this school, as I had said earlier, to serve the children of migrant workers. And so it was a series of old factory buildings that they had converted into classrooms. And then the buildings behind sort of the main horseshoe area of the school itself were the dormitories. And so there were 620 students at the school. 500 of them lived there. And the dormitories weren't anything that we would think of as a boarding school. Very narrow rooms, maybe 10 bunk beds in every room, with just simple shelving in the corner and sort of little plastic bowls to keep sort of their personal belongings. No mattresses on those beds, just a piece of wood and just maybe a light sheet. So our girls lived in one of the dorm rooms, and our young men from St. Francis de Sales lived in the other one. The teachers also lived at the school. They're very, very dedicated teachers. So in June, it's very hot in China, and these kids start their day at 6:20 in the morning by running in the courtyard, and our girls and our young men from St. Francis de Sales started in a Tai Chi class every day. And those students at the Dandelion School are still in classes up until 9 p.m. at night. And their food is very simple. They eat in their classrooms. But those students were so full of joy 99% of the time. They were running around and smiling and greeting, and they were very good at expressing to us how much they appreciated the fact that we were there. And as Abby said earlier, there were a group of Duke University students there for 10 weeks. They were also living there, and they were wonderful mentors to us. But the principal and the assistant principal of the Dandelion School pointed out that there are many schools that travel to the Dandelion School every year, like Duke University and some other high school students from Massachusetts and New York. But Our Lady of Tepeyac High School students and St. Francis de Sales High School students were the first students that aren't children of privilege themselves to come to the Dandelion School and really work alongside the kids at the Dandelion School.
So, Abby, when you got back, how did your experience here, how did your lifestyle here compare with what you saw back in China?
I was more grateful on the things that I have. My parents are always there next to me, and how we have only like a bit of school time to be there, and they have their whole day. It was really a really good experience to be over there and then come back and really appreciate the things we have and what we don't have.
So your experience here, what you realize that even though, as Joni says, you're not children of privilege, as some might be, you recognize that you had maybe more privileges than you thought?
Way more privileges. The kids over there are so, like, I don't know, it's really different than what you imagine. And just being there with them and seeing how they go out through their day, it's just it makes you think a lot about here. Because I know when I came back, I was just like, you know, we have the privileges of going to school. And for them, it's just one opportunity. And if they fail, that's it. They go back to their families and they have to look for jobs. And they're pretty young. So over here, we have the privilege to go back to school. And if we decide to drop out, we end up going back. But they don't.
Yeah.
So seeing that and seeing them being there and struggling and trying to do their best, it's just, it's really, really amazing.
Tell us about when your time came to an end with these school kids. Did they do anything for you to bid you off, send you on your way?
Yeah, they did. They did a big show for us. It was really nice. It was a great experience sitting there and watching them sing songs in English because they weren't as fluent as we thought. So for them, practicing every day just for us, it was really good. It was really cool.
Our students worked with the seventh graders at the school, which was the youngest of those children, and there were 200 of them. So each of the groups that our kids had worked with, they had, as Mariana said, rehearsed all week to put on a little bit of a show for us, and then they gave each of us gifts, and they had made cards for us and taken our pictures, and they really went out of their way to show their appreciation.
That's great. Well, sadly, we need to bring this conversation to a close. I'm sure we could have filled the hour just hearing about your experiences there. We want to thank Brendan O'Rourke, Director of Admissions and Marketing at St. Francis de Sales High School, Joni Thompson, the principal of Our Lady of Tepeyac, and we call her Joni here, but ladies, when you leave this room, she's Miss Thompson again. Mariana Buzo and Abigail Camacho, students at Our Lady of Tepeyac. God bless you all, and I hope you'll continue to cherish this wonderful experience that you had in China. You're listening to Catholic Schools Today on Catholic Community of Faith. We'll be back right with you after these very brief messages. Please don't go away.
Catholic New World has been your faith resource for well over a century. Archbishop Patrick Feehan recognized the need for a strong Catholic voice in 1892 and launched Chicago's first Catholic newspaper. Bishop Feehan named our Catholic newspaper using a theme from the Columbian Exposition, the New World that gave people hope for a brighter future. Today, the Catholic New World is better than ever. It's a rich and diverse resource for Chicagoland Catholics with stories of faith, hope, and inspiration. Cardinal Francis George and our team of columnists offer compelling insights on spirituality, catechesis, and evangelization. Visit our website at catholicnewworld.com. View our photo gallery, catch up on the latest news, and while you're there, subscribe to the Catholic New World or call 312-534-7777. Our look has changed, but we are still your faith resource. Subscribe now to the Catholic New World.
Blessed Pope John Paul II's Theology of the Body is changing lives around the world. It brings clarity to many of the tough questions regarding our sexuality and God's plan for love and life. Please join the Respect Life Office and the Office for Catholic Schools for the Theology of the Body for Teens curriculum training. This two-day training is perfect for teachers, youth ministers, catechists, and anyone who wants to bring Theology of the Body to teenagers. The Theology of the Body for Teens High School Edition training will take place on Friday evening, August 12th. The training for the new middle school edition will take place Saturday, August 13th, and will include lunch and materials. Both trainings will take place at Queen of the Rosary Parish in Elk Grove Village. For more information or to register, please contact the Respect Life Office at 312-534-5355 or check out their website at respectlifechicago.org.
Welcome back to Catholic Community of Faith, Catholic Schools Today program. I'm Graziano Marcheschi, delighted to be with you and grateful that you've chosen to spend this part of your morning with us. Mariana wanted to say Zai Ji, which is goodbye in Chinese. So I forgot to give her the opportunity to say that. Zai Ji is goodbye in Chinese. Now you've all learned something new. Go out and practice that today. We want to welcome to this segment of the program Ginny Quinones, who is the administrative assistant at St. Paschal School, and Denise Akana, principal at St. Paschal School. St. Paschal's was previously featured on Catholic Schools Today back in February about a nationwide recycling contest. They're returning here today after winning the Dream Machine Recycle Rally Contest and being awarded, get this, $100,000. They've been recycling for years as part of their curriculum in teaching global responsibility to their children. Welcome, children. Welcome, Ginny and Denise.
Thank you.
Thank you. Good morning.
Wow, that's very impressive. $100,000? Did you guys have a sense that you had a good chance of winning this contest, or was it a big surprise?
No, it wasn't a surprise. We took first place February 7th, and we never lost it.
Really? Now, what did you have to do to get in first place? What were you recycling?
Bottles and cans.
Bottles and cans? Mm-hmm. Paper? No paper?
No paper.
No paper.
We do recycle paper, but not for this particular contest.
This was just for bottles and cans?
Yes.
And so what, you had?
We had to scan every single plastic bottle and aluminum can that came into our building, and they were coming in by the truckloads every single week.
You had to scan them?
Yes, the barcodes.
Wow.
Which they have changed a little bit for next year, which will make our life a little easier.
You didn't do it by weight?
No.
Did they provide a scanner?
Yes, they did. Actually, we started off with one, and because of the inflow of items that we had, they eventually sent us a second one. We could have used probably two or three more.
So who did all the scanning?
I did, and a couple of other people. Joanne, our bookkeeper, did a lot of scanning. We had a lot of help from a lot of people.
That is amazing. I mean, how many tons did you end up with? Is that right to talk in tongue?
It
in
is.
Tons?
You know, I don't know tonnage-wise.
Sure.
I mean, I know we scanned over 350,000 items.
Wow. And how far ahead of number two were you?
Oh, we crushed them.
You crushed them?
Not nice to say, but we did.
Do you know who number two was?
Yes, we do.
We do.
Who are they?
It's a school in Niceville, Florida.
In Florida?
Yes.
All right. Illinois beats Florida.
That's right.
Wow. Was it a private school also or a public school? Do you know?
No, it was a public school.
Public school. All right. Catholic schools rule. Who got the idea for getting into this? And where in the world did you store 350,000 cans and plastic bottles?
Well, first of all, an email came. That's how it all started, that they were no longer collecting Capri Sun container. So Ginny asked me, do you think we could join this? I said, oh, sure. Never thinking that it would lead to this. We actually had to use one classroom, and it was filled literally probably three times to the ceiling.
Wow.
With bottles and cans. Waste management had a hard time keeping up with us.
So did you have to use a private company to haul them away, or how did that work?
No, waste management is part of the contract.
Oh, they were part of the contract.
Right.
Okay.
Right. So they were responsible for picking up your items. Towards the end of the contest, we had them coming twice a day.
Oh, my word. Twice a day.
Yes. And then they actually sent out a truck one time, too.
This is impressive. All right. So what did you do? Did you put something in the Kool-Aid to get all of the children excited about this? How did you get them all fired up to recycle?
It was just, it was word of mouth, and it truly took the entire community to do this. The parishioners, the school parents, we had other schools helping us. I mean, just everyone and everyone. As I said in an article in the Catholic New World, I could spend the next year thanking everyone because it truly was a joint effort.
Well, that's fantastic. So, yeah, if you say you had to have the trucks come twice a day, then it wasn't just the children bringing them.
No, it wasn't.
They brought the first haul in the morning, and then parents must have been showing up during the middle of the day bringing more.
Parents, parishioners, people, friends of friends of friends that I will never know. It was just everyone. It was word of mouth, and once it started, it just snowballed.
Yeah, well, I'm so delighted to hear it because I hate it when I have a can or a plastic bottle and I ask, do you recycle? And the answer is no. And so I end up having to just toss it in a garbage can. And I know that piece of aluminum that is irreplaceable and that, you know, is becoming in more and more short supply is just going to end up in a dump somewhere and never be used again, whereas it could be recycled. What did you see happening among your students as a result of this campaign?
Well, there was great enthusiasm, obviously, among the entire faculty and the students, and as I said, within the community. It just made everyone come together as one.
I think it showed them what could be done.
Right.
If it was something they really wanted.
Yeah. Oh, I bet those kids never dreamed that they could come up with that kind of, you know, those kinds of numbers. That's amazing. In terms of awareness of the whole recycling issue and ecology, did you support this campaign with curriculum in the classroom?
Yes, we did. And it's not only just the bottles and cans that we recycle. Like I said, we've been recycling paper for a number of years. We also recycle cell phones and ink cartridges through the funding factory. So this just was another layer on top of what we've already been doing.
Could I bring you some of my old cell phones?
Sure.
Really?
Sure.
Oh, good. I've always wondered, what can I do? I have so much. I'm one of those technology junkies, and things get you know, outdated so quickly that I have a lot of things accumulated. I've got all these chargers. Do you take those kinds of things
too? Not the chargers,
phones. Just the phones. Right. All right. Well, I've got a couple that I might want to bring down to
okay.
you. Paper is especially near to my heart. Oh, I think I hear music in the background. I never saw the signal. So that tells us that we need to go to a break, and we're going to continue this conversation when we return. So please stay with us.
I'm Father Robert Barron. Our new Catholicism documentary series and study program can now be pre-ordered online. Go to CatholicismPreorder.com. Will you help me introduce this one-of-a-kind film series and catechetical program to your parish, school, and diocese? Journey around the world and deep into the faith in this 10-part, 10-hour epic adventure. Learn more at CatholicismPreorder.com.
Catholic teens and young adults are preparing for World Youth Day 2011 in Madrid, Spain. The Archdiocese is sponsoring an exciting and inspirational 9-day trip for this coming August.
World Youth Day is a week-long spiritual journey during which teens and young adults from around the world unite to share their faith.
The Archdiocese organized trip to Madrid will include daily mass, catechesis, festivals, walking tours, and all the events scheduled with the Holy Father Pope Benedict the 16th.
That includes a welcoming ceremony, an evening candlelight vigil, and the closing mass. And for young people not going to Madrid, there's a wonderful World Youth Day celebration planned at Our Lady of Guadalupe Shrine in Des Plaines.
The regional event will bring together young Catholics from Illinois, Indiana, and Wisconsin. There will even be a giant TV hookup so you can pray along with the Pope during the closing mass in Madrid.
Go to the Archdiocese website, www.archchicago.org, and click on World Youth Day. You'll find information regarding travel to Madrid, our local festivities, and a link to the official World Youth Day website.
Plan now. Be part of this inspirational and memorable celebration of our faith.
World Youth Day 2011.
You're listening to Catholic Talk Radio in Chicago and the suburbs on Relevant Radio 950 AM.
Every Monday through Friday from 9 to 10 a.m., the Archdiocese of Chicago presents programming about the people, the issues, and the faith that affect all our lives. Thanks for staying with us here on Relevant Radio 950 a.m. Now again, the Catholic Community of Faith.
Do you recycle your aluminum cans and your glass and plastic bottles? Well, I'll tell you something. The children, parents, and parishioners of St. Paschal's School and Parish certainly do. They recycled so many that St. Paschal's won a contest that garnered them a $100,000 prize. And we've got the principal, Denise Sakana, and the administrative assistant, Jenny Quinones, here to tell us all about it. $100,000. What are you going to do with all that money?
Well, as soon as we found out that we officially won, I had to write a proposal, and one of the things that we're going to do is replace our front doors. But probably the biggest thing that we're looking into is redoing our technology, getting either new computers or new laptops. I didn't realize how divided people are between desktops and laptops, and whether they should have a PC lab or we should have laptops on carts. So I've gotten a lot of input, so I do need to make a decision very shortly. So that's one thing. We're also looking into possibly having solar panels generate our computer lab if we wind up having one. We're also looking to maybe do some planting around school, those kind of things.
Isn't it great to have money to spend.
It's awesome.
To be able to dream a little bit and know you can, you've got the resources to make the dream come true.
It sure is.
But it's more difficult spending that money than one would think.
It is.
Well, it's a nice problem to have. How are we going to spend all this cash? And probably the best part of this whole story is how many people made it happen. You know, that it wasn't the two of you who just had this, you know, brainstorm. It wasn't just the kids, but it was the teachers, the kids, the parents, the parishioners, the friends, the customers at the restaurant that Ginny owns, who brought cans in, even though they didn't really want to, but they felt like they should, to help the school and to be good to the environment. It's an amazing story. Now, I understand this has become an annual event.
Yes, it has. And
and you're in the contest again.
Yes, we are. Yes, we are.
You're deep into the contest. Because when did this recycle now, excuse, no pun intended here, did this restart in February, March? When?
The contest actually ended April 30th.
Okay.
The new contest doesn't actually start until August 1st.
I see.
So, but we still have stuff coming in every single day that we are still weighing and scanning.
Absolutely wonderful. So if somebody wanted to help St. Paschal's and, you know, had a bunch of cans or plastic bottles that they wanted to donate, where would they bring them?
Right to the front office.
And where is that?
At 6143 West Irving Park Road.
6143 West Irving Park Road.
That's correct.
Now, is there anything special about St. Paschal School?
Well, actually, I do believe we are the only school in the Midwest that has a Peace Builders program.
A Peace Builders program. Well, I was thinking about something maybe a little closer to home. Anything special about St. Paschal's Parish?
The Cardinal.
You mean the Cardinal? One of our alumni?
One of your alums. That's right. Cardinal George made him the man that he is today. So very special school in the hearts of everyone in the Archdiocese for that reason. If someone wanted to contact St. Paschal's or wanted to learn more about the school, you know, if they were interested in sending their child there, what number could they call? What website would they go to?
It's 773-736-8806. And our website is www.stpaschalschool.com.
Give us both of those again, would you please?
773-736-8806, and our website is www.stpaschalschool.com.
Excellent. So this contest is still just focused on the plastic bottles and the aluminum cans and the glass bottles.
No glass.
Just aluminum and plastic. Aluminum and plastic. And you get them by the ton, and people bring them to you. But on your own, aside from the contest, you also recycle paper?
Yes, and there are two big bins in the parking lot.
Yeah, I love the fact my neighboring Catholic grade school has three bins in their parking lot, and they're very close to me, and so whenever my bin at home gets filled, I just drive over there, put it in. Makes me feel good about what I'm doing for the environment, makes me feel good that I'm helping out the school, and everybody turns out a winner.
And now you have some place to drop off your cans and bottles.
And now I know where to bring the cans and bottles. Yeah.
And your cell phones and ink cartridges.
My gosh, you're taking care of all my problems here today. What was the most gratifying part of this whole experience for the two of you?
For me, it was seeing the entire community come together. That was something that was, I thought, really awesome. From preschool all the way up through eighth grade, like I said, throughout the entire community.
And how pleased was your pastor then?
Oh, he's very pleased.
Well, it sounds like you're really on track for another victory this year. So we certainly hope that come next June or July, we'll be able to invite you back as the two-time winners of this $100,000 award. So you better start thinking about what you're going to do with that next $100,000.
Okay.
Yeah. Any final word you'd like to say to other schools who might be thinking about encouraging their children to become more ecologically minded?
Well, we, you know, definitely invite all the other schools to jump into the contest, but we got it in the bag.
So don't even think about overtaking St. Pascal's.
And we are getting a special award from America the Beautiful.
Yes, a very nice woman by the name of Joyce came out to St. Pascal just before school let out for the summer, and we will be awarded that sometime in the fall.
Well, congratulations to St. Pascal's. Thank you to Ginny Quinones, the administrative assistant of the school, and to Denise Akana, principal of St. Pascal's School. Thank you both. God bless you. Have a great summer and keep collecting those cans and bottles.
Thank you.
Thank you.
We're going to take a short break and then come back for our final segment when we'll be talking with Father John Hetland, one of the newly ordained priests of the Archdiocese. Don't go away. We'll be right back.
Most interment arrangements at the 43 Archdiocese of Chicago cemeteries are made through a pre-need plan. Your thoughtful planning today is economically prudent and contributes to peace of mind for you and your loved ones. Catholic Cemeteries counselors are available at your convenience. For more information, call 708-449-6100. Catholic Cemeteries, serving the Catholic community since 1837.
Catholic Charities' Loving Outreach to Survivors of Suicide program has provided specialized counseling and support groups for adults in the Chicago area for many years. LOS recently initiated a support program for children and teens ages 3 to 18 and will be running a summer session. Any parents, teens, or children who have been affected by the death of a loved one to suicide are welcome. For more details about LOS and the summer program, call 312-655-7283.
Do you need to train leaders and educate your assembly about the new words we will soon hear and say at Mass? Mystical Body, Mystical Voice DVD and Formation Program is a proven resource that gives church professionals tools with which to teach about the liturgy and about the new words of the Revised Roman Missal. Not only will this program help ease the transition to using the new Mass texts, but it will open the eyes of your assembly to the riches of the liturgy. Advent 2011 is fast approaching. To prepare your parish and provide them with an opportunity for ongoing faith and liturgical formation, call Liturgy Training Publications at 800-933-1800 or visit ltp.org. That's 800-933-1800 or visit ltp.org.
Welcome back to Catholic Schools Today. I'm Graziano Marcheschi, flying solo this morning, and thanking you for joining us for this edition of Good News about the Catholic Schools in the Archdiocese of Chicago. We're going to be talking now with Father John Hetland, who's becoming a very good friend of mine since I've had the opportunity to speak with him a couple of times, particularly since his recent ordination to the priesthood for the Archdiocese of Chicago. Father John, who, as I said, is newly ordained, attended Transfiguration School and Archbishop Quigley Preparatory Seminary. He said his first Mass at Transfiguration on May the 21st, and he's currently assigned to St. Barnabas Parish on the south side. Welcome, John.
Welcome. Thank you.
So you are a product of Catholic education.
Yeah, I've been in Catholic schools ever since I was like 5 years old. Didn't go to preschool. Preschool wasn't big in 1990. We just had kindergarten. Went to Transfiguration. Fell in love with my faith there. Learned the foundations of my faith. So all the biblical stories, you know, the Ark and Solomon, all these basic stories I always knew. And I still know to this day because of the foundation I had at Catholic Grammar School.
You know, that's one of the things that I think is so lacking in the lives of a lot of children today. They don't know the Bible stories. And it's amazing the difference that that makes.
Yeah, yeah. Just even listening to them at Mass, I'm like, oh, I know that story. I remember it. I can kind of even recall when I learned it in grammar school. It wasn't very deep then. We usually had to draw pictures of it or reenact it in a play. But that's what stuck with me. ever since then.
That's so. I have such a passion about this. Any of you out there listening who are responsible for catechesis, for teaching children, or if you know a teacher in a Catholic school, make sure that they understand the importance of the children knowing the stories of the Bible. Make them draw the pictures, like Father John said. Make them dramatize the stories, you know, because that will embed the story deep in their hearts, deep in their souls. I love it when you just said, John, that you fell in love with your faith. Talk about that a little bit.
I was a little slow starter in like altar serving, but I live so close to the church. The eighth grade teacher said, you're going to be an altar server. So I started in like seventh grade. That's, you know, late in the game. But then I learned really the ritual of the Mass. For the first time, I saw like older altar servers from Quigley High School come back, or St. Joseph College Seminaries come back, and I go, oh, I would like to do that. And then I got to meet the priest more on a hands-on level, so it wasn't just the man behind the altar, the priest behind the altar. I got to interact with them more in the sacristy, so that was very, very cool for me. And then I just knew like the rhythm of Catholic schools. Every day we had religion, so we had to continue on what we knew the day before. We had to kind of go over it every day, and then what we were going to learn the following week. A lot of great Catholic topics I learned. My teacher had a lot of, like, he used to preach at us, you know, in the middle of, like, history class. When I think back at it, he was really inserting religion all throughout the day, but he didn't tell us that. When I look back at it, I go, oh, my goodness, that's what he's doing.
God bless him.
Yeah, very smart way of doing it.
Yeah.
And then just knowing the culture. So now, even to this day, I could share short stories with those who altar served or those who went to Catholic school, and it's like we were there together, even though they might have went to a Catholic school on the south side or the west side, and I went to Catholic school on the north side.
What other things were you involved during grade school besides the academics?
So I did altar serving, and then I played basketball at the local park district. Unfortunately, we didn't have athletics at my grammar school, but we did have it at Quigley, and I was in volleyball, and I was at volleyball and wrestling at Quigley, and it really helped me kind of stay out of trouble, you know, because after school, all my friends would just kind of hang out, and they really didn't want to do much. But when I was in sports, I was learning how to be disciplined as an athlete so I could be disciplined as a school student and then even as a prayer.
What years were you a student here at Quigley?
Quigley, 1999 to 2003.
2003. And the school was officially closed when?
2007. So I was the fifth to last class of Quigley.
All right. So you never would have imagined that you'd end up in the lower level of Quigley.
No,
talking on the radio.
No. Yeah.
That's great. That's great. So you're one of the students who graduated from Quigley, who actually went on to St. Joseph College and then to Mundelein Seminary.
Yeah.
One of the real success stories. Yeah. Tell us how you think. Now, you have to speculate here. This is, but would your life have been different if you had not gone to a Catholic grade school?
Oh, I think so. I just want to know the Catholic culture as much. Me personally, I could have been really persuaded by just what everybody else was doing. You know, whatever my friends were into, good or bad, I could have probably easily been influenced. But since all my friends were at Catholic school, we're going to Catholic Mass, we're interacting with the faith, I tended to know more about that because my friends were there with me.
Yeah.
If my friends were, you know, not doing any of that, I'd probably be doing whatever they were doing. So if it was all sports all the time, I'd probably be an athlete right now or trying to make it as an athlete or something like that.
You know, you went to Quigley when the structure was just like every other school. When I was a student here at Quigley, my first 2 years, we went to school Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Friday, Saturday.
Oh, okay.
We were off on Thursdays. And the reason for that, at least what we surmised, was they wanted us to hang out with other seminarians. So by being off on Thursday, the only other people you could hang out with were the fellow Quigley students. And by being in school on Saturday, you didn't have the opportunity to hang out with the guys from the neighborhood. So that, you know, I liked it because it was different and you got that nice break during the week. But then when we switched to the regular 5-day schedule during my junior and senior year, that was also very nice. Did you find that most of your friends through grade school and high school were kids from the schools that you attended?
Yeah. I had more friends from this. I still hang out with the kids from grammar school. Like a lot of my siblings, our closest friends are the kids we had in grammar school. And the friends that we had in grammar school or the kids that were in our classes, they're all friends with the kids from grammar school.
Yeah.
It's unbelievable how strong those bonds were those first 14 years of our lives. And I still see my close friends from that time.
I think that's something that maybe parents don't always think about, is that when you go to a Catholic school, it's not just the teachers and the education that you get that are so important, but it's the other kids that you get exposed to, because you're spending time now with kids whose parents care about them, who are really making sacrifices, and they come from a family culture that might be more positive and more upbuilding. And so when those are your friends, it's going to make a difference. We have to go to a quick break. We're going to come back and continue this conversation with this wonderful young priest, Father John Hetland. You're listening to Catholic Schools Today. I'm Graziano Marcheschi. Please don't go away. We'll be right back.
You're invited to watch The Church, the Cardinal, and You this weekend on cable television. Here's host Graziano Marcheschi.
We'll take you to Holy Name Cathedral for the ordination ceremony of 10 new priests. We'll show you highlights from Rome of the beatification of Pope John Paul II. And we'll talk to Cardinal Francis George about the significant issues that are covered in his latest book, God in Action.
For several interesting stories about the Archdiocese, please watch The Church, the Cardinal, and You this weekend on cable television. Go to www.archchicago.org and click on Radio TV for the time and cable channel in your area. That's www.archchicago.org. The Church, the Cardinal, and You, compelling television about your Archdiocese.
Who do you know in their 20s or 30s? Adult children, grandchildren, colleagues, neighbors, and friends.
The Archdiocese of Chicago is offering something just for them. It's called Theology on Tap.
We all know people who aren't as connected to the church as we wish they were. We also know young adults who are very connected, sharing gifts in many ways.
However connected they are, let's take it to the next level. Theology on Tap is a speaker and discussion series exclusively for people in their 20s and 30s, married and single.
It's an opportunity for them to meet good people their own age.
To deepen their faith and spirituality.
To make connections between faith and everyday life.
And explore the things that matter most.
It's a chance for all of us to share the Catholic faith with them, so they in turn can pass it to others.
We encourage you to personally invite young adults to Theology on Tap. It begins July 10th at locations throughout the Chicagoland area.
Details can be found at yamchicago.org.
That's yamchicago.org.
Graziano Marcheschi welcoming you back to Catholic Schools Today, where you hear about the wonderful things happening within the schools of the Archdiocese of Chicago. You have to understand, this is an amazing commitment on the part of the Archdiocese. It takes tremendous resources to keep a school system going. Anyone who's been a parent of Catholic school children knows that it's a great sacrifice. It takes a lot of work on the part of everyone involved. The parents, the kids, the teachers sacrifice higher salaries that they could be getting in the public schools, the principals. And then there are generous donors. Earlier in the program, we talked to two different high schools that are funded through the Big Shoulders program, which helps inner city schools to sustain their life and to educate kids who are not from privilege, but who are, you know, low-income families, and they get the same opportunity to benefit from the solid and faith-building Catholic education that the Archdiocese is so committed to. We're talking to one of the outstanding graduates of the Catholic school system, Father John Hetland, who was ordained this past, what?
May 21st.
May 21st. So you've been a priest for June, not even 2 months.
Yeah, not 2 months. Yeah,
not even 2 months. I was privileged when I interviewed you. And who else did we interview?
It was Father Phil Owen as well.
Yeah. Interviewed the two of you for the Church Cardinal New program. And at the end of the program, I was privileged to go down on my knee and ask for your first blessing. So I'm claiming those graces. But you attended Catholic schools both in grade school, in high school. Then, of course, you went to the seminary college, and you did your graduate education at Mundelein Seminary. So you're a Catholic product all the way. You're now ministering at St. Barnabas on the south side, and that is a parish that has a Catholic school?
It has a Catholic school. There's about 440 students there. It seems like a great school. They have, I think, two classes per each grade. The kids get to come to Mass once a week, so the priests get to interact with the kids, like I said, once a week. And it seems like a lot of great things are going on there.
It seems like more of our schools are doing weekly Mass for their children.
Yeah, we just want to make sure they understand Mass so that when they're on Sunday, they know the rhythm of Mass. So if they're going to Mass twice a week, it's just going to get ingrained in their system.
And unfortunately, for some kids, it may be the one time a week that they go.
Yeah.
Because a lot of times parents don't take too seriously enough the responsibility of making sure that their children get to Mass on Sunday.
Yeah, so they'll at least know about Mass once a week at St. Barnabas.
And maybe the child will be the catalyst
that
gets the parents out of bed on Sunday morning and says, come on, let's go to church, Mom and Dad.
Yeah, I've heard great stories of kids actually nudging their parents on Sunday morning, it's time to go to church, it's time to go to church. And since the parents see that the kids have such a strong desire, they'll eventually start going. I've heard a few great stories like that.
Yeah, I remember, you know, this is ancient history, but when I was a kid, we were strongly, you know, expected to be there. And so you just wouldn't think of not going to Mass on Sunday. And so if you had a parent who was inclined to sleep in, it was the kids who made sure that, no, sister needs to see me at Mass.
Yeah. I've heard of some programs actually having the students come and have like a sister or a priest sign a paper that said they'd been there, so that really gets them encouraged to go to Mass.
Well, as you think back on your experience in grade school, what are some of the things that you think contributed to fostering your vocation and helping you? You know, you talked about playing basketball. You talked about being a wrestler. I mean, you know, you're a wonderful young man. You could have gone in lots of different directions. But your faith became a very, very central part of your life. How did that happen, and how did Catholic school contribute to that?
Well, first, my parents did a great job of making sure I went to Mass every Sunday and really encouraging all the vocations. And always talk about marriage or priesthood, whatever God wanted. But then I met other people outside my parents that were had great family lives or were great priests. I met a lot of great people, but the priests seemed joyous, happy, fulfilled. And I got to meet them on a, you know, hands-on basis at the Catholic school. So that helped foster my vocation to the priesthood. But I could see if, you know, those who have been called to marriage in my class, they met a lot of great married couples also in the parish, supporting the kids, maybe being on the school board or helping out at spaghetti dinners or the other parish events. The parents that loved their children, they were there every Sunday trying to raise money for the school to make sure the school was stayed open and continued on the great education.
You talk about joyous and fulfilled priests. I think that's the key. If we see priests who are really joyful in their priesthood and who are fulfilled through the ministry that they do, I think other young men will be attracted to that ministry.
Yeah. That's what got me into thinking about it.
And that's why I'm so delighted to have you on the program, because I know you're going to be one of those joyous and fulfilled priests.
Yeah.
And
I'm
glad
you've
got 440-some students to give a wonderful example to. Well, we need to bring our program to a close. You've been listening to Catholic Schools Today. I'm Graziano Marcheschi, and I thank you for spending this part of your morning with us. Continue listening to Catholic Radio right here every day from 9 to 10 a.m., and we'll see you on the radio on Friday. God bless you. Have a great week.
All right, thank you.
This is Cardinal Francis George. Thank you for being with us this past hour on Relevant Radio 950 AM. Join us every day, Monday through Friday, as the Archdiocese of Chicago presents the Catholic Community of Faith. Have a wonderful day, and God bless you.